Tuesday the 19th of February, Yud Gimel Adar Rishon, Rabbi Yonas and Chodi, Korea, and opening packages on Shabbos.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. With your permission, I'd like to have the shiur today in the Zechusa and the Ilyin Shom of my Zeda, whose Yom Tov is today, Rabbi Chabad and Rabbi Shraga Favish. The topic that I would like to talk about is Korea, opening packages on Shabbos and packaging. So obviously quite a diverse melacha involved in many different activities. And I know you had a share previously regarding Binyan and Stira regarding these matters. So I'll leave that side of the discussion to what has already been discussed and concentrate more on the melacha of Korea that is also relevant in this issue. And therefore, we won't talk about the cartons and tins and that sort of thing, but we'll concentrate more on packages and packaging. So, for example, crisp packets or nush packets, that type of thing, and also packaging in connection with, let's say, shirts or toys. It can happen that you have a new shirt, you forgot to open it before Shabbos. It's in its packaging, in its cellophane packaging. May you open that on Shabbos or not. And that revolves around the melacha of Korea rather than the melacha of Soiseh or Binyan, because by opening the cellophane or the nylon, you're basically destroying the packaging, and there is no creation of any keli thereby, so we don't necessarily get involved in that side of the melacha. Now the Mishnah says, Korea Manas Litva is one of the 39 melachas. In the Mishon, the sedras that we're occupied in at the moment, we have the activity of Korea, tearing. What was the situation? The situation was that if in one of the Big Day Corona or the Urias of the Mishkan, there, perhaps not the Big Day, the Urias of the Mishkan, a worm perhaps made a hole in the Urias and had to repair the hole. Now, if one just repaired a hole, down a hole, it would gather together and it wouldn't be a neat repair. In order to repair it neatly, they would have to tear the urea more than the hole that was already there, and then they will be able to sew it up neatly so that it will be a neat repair. So the melacha as we see in the Mishkan, as the Gemara says, is korea, but specifically on manas litva. So in other words, although there was a destructive act involved, it was the tearing of the urea, made it worse than it was originally. But the purpose of that was in order to repair it, in order to sew it up together, and the end result was a better product than you really had right in the, before you started the repair job. So that's the melacha kerea al manas litva. Now, the Rabbi Kivega discusses on the Mishnah and also on the Gemara in Gilin Ashas whether the al manas litva, the condition that the tear has to be in order to repair, is crucial to the melacha, is part of the melacha itself, or is it just to avoid the problem of it being a destructive act? So we have two possibilities. Either that the kiriya, the tear, must be solely in order to repair it, in order to sew it back together, kerea amanas litva, and any other tikkun, any other benefit that would result from the kerea, according to this mahalach, would not be part of the melacha. Or we could say no differently, that amanas litva was just a hechatimta where there was a positive result that emanated from the tear. But really any benefit, any tikkun that would result from the destructive act of the korea would also be covered under the melacha. And the reason why the Mishnah mentions amanas litva, because that's what it was in the Mishkan. But it's not exclusive to be amanas litva. Any tikkun could be part of the melacha as well. Now that's a sophie that Rabbi Kivega has on the Mishnah there and on the Gilin Ashas. He brings various rayas. One raya brings from Tosfos. When Tosfos quotes the Gemara says that there is a situation of korea b'chamosei or almeso, rachmon litzla. So if a person is very angry and he tears begodim to calm himself down, or a Korea al Meso. We take that example of Korea al Meso, in some of the Shiva Korea's, for which there's a Chiyuv to do Kriya, one is not allowed to repair that beggar. So the Korea there was certainly not Amanas Litvoy. And yet, the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Amalacha She'ena Tzricha Laguf is Chayev, then you'd be Chayev for such a tear. Says Rabbi Kivega, that you see from this Tos, from this Gemara, that it doesn't necessarily have to be Amanas Litvoy, because if it would be Amanas Litvoy, then you could never be Chayev for Korea al Meser. But since the Malacha really is a Korea, but with some positive benefit that would come out of that, then if there is a benefit that either because of the mitzvah or for some other benefit that you calm yourself down, then there is a tikkun that emanates from there, and therefore according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that malacha she'ena tzricha laguf is chayev, then you'd be chayev in that case as well. So says Rabbi Yehuda, you see from there that it doesn't necessarily have to be amanas litvah specifically, but it could be also for any other tikkun, and we'll discuss that a little bit now. The Bir Halacha in the end of Shin Mem brings this discussion, and he says clearly that you see from the Mechaber says like this, the right at the end of Simon Shin Mem, V'chein ha-mafarek ne'yaris devukim, if a person tears, separates pieces of paper that are stuck together, or oiros devukim, or leather that have been stuck together, v'lein niskaven lekalkel bovad, and he does not have an intention specifically to destroy on its own, but he has some other positive benefit, as the Mishnah Berurah explains, Ela Bishvil Ezer Toyadas, he has some other benefit. Harezer told us Kareh V'chayev. Says the Bir Halach, you see here from the Mechaber, that the Mechaber paskens that you don't specifically need it to be Amanas Litvah, but any tikkun that emanates from the Kareh is also considered to be part of the Melacha, and there's a Chiyuv. Now, the problem we have here is that this would be like we see from the Tosfos, that if you hold that Melacha She'ena Tzricha Laguf is Chayev, then you can understand that even if you did it for some other purpose, there would be a Chiyuv. But according to Rav Shimon, who holds that Melacha She'ena Tzricha Laguf is Potter, what tikkun is required? And the Bir Halacha explains that according to Rav Shimon, who holds that Melacha She'ena Tzricha Laguf is Potter, the tikkun must be in the article itself. But if you have a side benefit that is not in the article that you're tearing, and we'll give some examples of this, then that is not considered part of the melacha. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, melacha holds that melacha she'ena tzricha laguf is chayev, then any benefit, even if it's not in the garment itself or in the item that you're tearing, would be a chiyuv. But according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that melacha she'ena tzricha laguf is potter, and we pass on that Rabbi Shimon, the benefit must be in the garment. So for example, if you tear a beged because you want to use part of that beged as a shmata, so you have destroyed the beged, but there is no benefit in the beged itself. You are now using part of that beged that you destroyed for something else. That is not considered to be a benefit in the article itself. And that would definitely be called a kilkul. But for what about, for example, if you have already a shmata and you are destroying that shmata because you want to use a smaller piece of that shmata, because for now you'll be able to clean up something with this particular piece of shmata, then that would be called, considered to be a tikkun in the article itself. The article was a shmata in the first place. It's no good for you, the use that you want to put it to. You tear it so that you can make use of it in a better way. So that would be a tikkun in the article. And then even according to Rav Shimon, who says that melacha she'ena tzricha lagufa is potter, but this is not ena tzricha lagufa, this is for the article itself, and that would be a tikkun in the article. And therefore, if you to tear, let's say, some silver foil off a roll on Shabbos, would be a tikkun. Would be a tikkun to the piece of silver foil that you want to use, and you will not be allowed to do that because that would be a melacha of kareh amanas l'takeim, and that would be an issur d'oraita. Similarly, to tear toilet paper from the roll, according to the way we're explaining this now, that the toilet paper is not functionable in its current use. You want to tear it so that you have now benefit from that piece of paper. That is called a tikkun in the paper, and according to what we're saying, would be a tikkun, and therefore a melacha deraisa of korea amanas litva amanas letake. Okay, so now let's consider the packaging. Let's consider the packaging of either food products or the shirt product. That so you have your shirt. It's in some packaging. You are tearing the shirt, the packaging of the shirt, in order to use the shirt, in order to use it. So similarly, a packet of crisps. You want to tear the packet, and the benefit that you will get is not from the packet. It's because you'll now be able to eat the food that's inside. So this is a discussion that starts first with the Pri Chodesh in Yerodea. He there talks about the following case. There was an oven which they had food, which they kept over Shabbos, and it wasn't actually locked with a locking key, but they wrapped around the lock or the handle of the oven a paper lock. So they had some paper which somehow they wrapped around the lock, I'm not sure how, and it was clearly detectable that if that paper had been broken, that someone had gone into the oven. So it wasn't a seal, but it was a means of being able to detect whether the oven had been opened or not. The Pri Chodesh then says that you're tearing the piece of paper in order to get access to the food. Says the Pri Chodesh, that is a tikkun. And your korea with for a tikkun, says the Pri Chodesh, that's a chiyuv. Comes along the Chacham Tzvi, and the Chacham Tzvi says, I really don't understand. Enochanami says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you hold that Amalacha She'en HaTzrich LaGufo is chayav, then you don't need the tikkun to be in the paper itself, in that it can be any sort of tikkun. So I agree that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would be chayav in that case. But according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that Amalacha She'en HaTzrich LaGufo is poser, and as we explained, you need to have a tikkun in the article itself, I can't understand what Rabbi Pri Chodesh says it should be an Issa, and he says clearly it's not an Issa deraisa. And his son, the Yavetz in the Shaham Teshuvah, quotes the Chacham Tzvi, and he agrees with him, and he says clearly it is definitely not an Issa deraisa. Now the question still remains whether it is an Issa derabbanan or whether it is mutter completely. So we've established so far that according to Rabbi Shimon, who we paskin like, that the tear, in order to have a benefit that is not within the article itself, is not the issa deraisa of korea amanas letaken. It is a destructive act. You are destroying the packaging, or you're destroying the paper, and we still have to establish whether that is mutter or whether that would be an issa derabbanan. Because normally we find all over Hilchos Shabbos, there is the thing everyone knows, that a mekalkel, a destructive act, is itself an issa derabbanan. So although it may not come under the category of the melacha deraisa of korea amanas letaken, because the tikkun is not in the article itself, but is it an issa derabbanan or is it completely mutter? Okay. So here we have a Tosefta, which is brought down by the Rashba, it's brought down by the Bish Yosef, Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Berurah brings it, and Shin Yud Dalet. Mishnah Berurah brings the following situation. Mishnah Berurah says, Oyer, Umuta Gamken Lekra Ha Oyer, Me'alpi Chovish Oyai, Uvilvach Le'ichavin Lasa Zinu. This is a Tosefta. Mishnah Berurah says, that you're allowed to tear Oyer. Oyer was a leather cover that covered the wine on a barrel. So, besides the lid of the barrel, then beneath the lid there was another protective covering of a leather seal, and that probably kept the wine fresh. We have it similar to the packaging that we have today. You have a thin piece of paper on coffee jars and things like that. So there's an oyer arpia chavis is mutter likra. It's clear. You're allowed to tear that skin. Okay, so as far as the issa deraisa, we've already discussed that is korea amanas letaken, but not in the piece of in the oyer itself. Therefore, it can't be an issa deraisa. But here you see clearly that it's mutter in ganzen, it's not even an issa derabbanan. The question is, why is it not mekalkel in the actual oyer? because the act of tearing is itself a kilkel, like we explained so far, the act of tearing is itself a kilkel. The tear destroys the oil in this case. It is makake. But if it was for a benefit of something else, then it would either be nisa deraisa or not. But it's still an act of destruction. So how come it can be is mutter to tear the oil al piachovis? Why don't we say what happened to the issa of makake? There's an issa drabonon to do destructive act on Shabbos. It might not be al manas l'taken, but nevertheless, it's an issa drabonon. So why is it mutter? Okay, so the Bishyotis brings a Shibole Haleket. Shibole Haleket says as follows: Kshayoshev Adam Besuda B'Shabbos. When a person is sitting down to eat a meal on Shabbos, Upaori Mevin Lefonov Tanugoyles Tsluyo Ibosu Tzoli. He's presented with some roasted meat, chicken, Kshurin Begemi, and it's tied. The meat is tied with some rope or string. Obadavaracha. You're allowed to cut that rope. There's no issa. Why not? Upasikas tolush ene osa. There is such a thing that's called pasikas tolush, which means if you have a piece of string, a string which is not connected to the ground, and you cut it, and the cut does not create any benefit to the string itself. There's no product that is created by the cutting the string. You've not created anything new. You've just destroyed the piece of string. You've cut it in half. That is called psikas tolosh. Psikas tolosh is no issa whatsoever. When is it forbidden to cut? El or tear? Ena ela imatakno oilemida oilasos eki. If you cut it because you have a specific intention for a specific size, you need a piece of string that is 2 inches long for whatever reason, then that would be mechatech, because you cut with intention for a specific size, that comes under the melacha mechatech. Or if you have an intention to make it clean, if the cut or the way you cut it creates an object that is now functionable, you've added some functionality to that, that could either be makav patish or binyan, you created something. But a tear or a cut which has no benefit whatsoever, is purely mekalkel, is completely mutter. There's no melacha, no issa whatsoever. And then he brings that, he's seen other gedolim who acted like that, and it's clear from the way he passed them that mekalkelin b'psikas tolosh is mutter legamer. Okay. Now, says the Prima Godim, why is that? Why is that? Says the Prima Godim that the act of kilkul, a destructive act, is only relevant where you have an object that has some functionality in its own right beforehand. Let's say you have a beged, you have a garment, and you tear that, you destroy the beged. Or you have some minimum size cloth, 3x3 finger breadth, which has some function, which is in halacha considered to be a functionable thing, which has a piece of material which has a use. That is considered a keli, and if you destroy that, you've destroyed something that is functionable, and that would be considered to be a makalke. But where it's not considered to be a keli in its own right, says the Prima Godim, that does not come under the category of makalke. You've not destroyed anything, and it's completely mutter, according to the Prima Godim, and to the Shibbol HaLeket, to tear a piece of string, because that's called psikas tolosh. Okay. Now, the Shvisas HaShabbos now quotes this Shibbol HaLeket and the Prima Godim, and he says like this: how do we explain the Tosefta? We started off with a question on the Tosefta. The Tosefta said that it is permitted to tear skin, to tear the leather that is covering the barrel. Oil, which Shlakiachovitz, is permitted. And the question was, why is it not Makalka? Says the Shivis HaShabbos that utilizing this heter of Psikas Tolosh, we can explain why oil, Shlakiachovitz, is mutter to tear. Why so? Because he says like this, that although it is forbidden to tear something that has a minimum dimensions of a keli, which this oil does have, and therefore it ought to be prohibited, but by using it to protect the wine, it now loses its status as a kli. Since it's now covering the oichel and is dedicated and designated
purely to protect the food. Said the Shvi'i Shabbos, then that loses its status as an independent keli. I'll read you the words. If you tied it, if you used it as a package or a protective cover for oichlin or mashkin, it loses its status as a beged. Just like nutshells, which are protective coat for the nut, but we're allowed to open up. We don't say that that's a kilkel, because its sole status and its sole purpose is protective for the oichlin. It doesn't have any other use. And therefore it's permitted to tear and break, and he adds the last few of a nazu keshar tolosh to aimboy kriya. Just like we see that psikas tolosh, tearing a piece of string, is permitted, so too, although this oil has some minimum dimensions of the clean, but since it was used purely to protect the oil and to cover the food, it loses that status as a independent item. It becomes merely like a piece of string, and it's mutter to tear a piece of string. So the Shvi'i Shabbos uses the heter of psikas tolosh together with the fact that this oil has loses its status as a kli to explain why it's permitted and it's not even an issur drabbanan to tear the oil and to tear packaging of food. Say again. The bottle tops are a discussion in its own right. We can talk about that another time. And the reason why it is not, although it is a tikkun, you have some benefit, but it's not a tikkun in the item itself. So since it's not a tikkun, yeah, in the chole, you tear the skin, you tear the oil. And the benefit is a side benefit, that you can now pour the wine out. But there's no benefit in the leather itself. So therefore, it is not called a tikkun as far as the oil is concerned. It's purely destructive as far as the oil is concerned. And with that, what the Shvi'i Shabbos says, and it's not a tikkun to the chum. And therefore, it is completely permitted. Now the Chazon Ish has a slightly different explanation. And the Chazon Ish says like this, that when, what is a destructive act? A destructive act is purely if you take something that is useful and you destroy it for no reason. When you're opening packaging, or when you're tearing the oil, although the tikkun that results from the tear is not an adequate tikkun to make it a kerea almanas letakein, but you are not doing a destructive act here. You are gaining access to the food. You want to pour the wine out. So the fact that it is not purely destructive, but it is destroying it for that minimum benefit that you're going to get from it, is enough to take it away from the concept of makakel. It's not a makakel. It's not purely destructive. You are doing this in order to gain access to the food. And therefore, your act is no longer considered to be a destructive act. It is a positive act. And what positive act is it? Gaining access to the food. And therefore it's not called a makaka, and therefore, both according to the Prima Gaudium, Shvi'i Shabbos, and the Shibbol HaLeket, it would come out that to tear open the oil, apiachovit, is not even an issur drabbanan, and similarly according to the Chazon Ish. So if we apply this to, it's not a makaka, and it's not enough of a tikkun, because in order for it to be a tikkun, you have to have a tikkun to the item itself, so that reduces it from issur d'oraisa, and it's not an issur d'rabbanan or makaka either according to the Shvi'i Shabbos, because it's the heter of psikas tolosh, because once it's used as a packaging, it loses its status as an independent kli. And according to the Chazon Ish, that it's because you're gaining access to the food, it loses its status of its makaka.
Are you talking about destroying the bag?
Yeah, at the moment.
But is it completely destroying the bag?
Let's say.
Remains in the bag, and the food is, you can store the food inside.
You can store the food. You're right. So let's just say, for the moment, what we've seen so far, that to destroy the bag would certainly be okay, would certainly be permitted. And this heter is applied by the Reb Shlomo Zalman and by the other poskim, Rav Moshe Feinstein, to all other types of packaging. The different shittas would apply it
to certainly when it comes to this type of packaging, which is not a kelim in its own right. Whether it applies to kelim also is subject to further debate by the various paskim, and we're not going to go into that. So I'm not applying this to tins at the moment, although some of these paskim do. But
a packet of milk, we still keep the milk in it.
Yeah. So that is subject to a debate. Where you keep the foods in the package, in Rosh Lemazama says like this, that since when you finish the food, you're going to throw away the package, and the package itself has no other independent use for you. And everyone throws it away. It's a normal thing to do. Says Rosh Lemazama that although you are actually going to retain the food in the package until you to finish it, so you're going to keep the milk in the package or whatever it is, it's still considered to be an act of kilkul as far as the bag is concerned, because basically what you've done is you've destroyed the packaging so that you can eat it. You don't have to consume the product immediately, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. Now there are others that say that the Chazon Ish said that if you keep the food in the packaging, then it does retain some sort of positive benefit and you have created a keli. But it's clear if you look in the Chazon Ish and later Poskim who comment on the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish was talking about in his time where the tins and such like were used to store nails in even after you emptied the packaging. Before the invention of plastic, everybody used tins for storing nails and that type of thing. Replace plastic. So therefore, because people retain the food in it and it has some subsequent use, it could be that's why the Chazon Ish said that. But it's true, the Chazon Ish does say that point. But Rav Shlomo Zalman and all other and other poskim say that since you are going to empty the packaging, since it's going to, and your main function here is to open it such that you can consume what's inside and then throw it away, it is purely wrapping. And wrapping loses its status as a kli, as we've seen, and therefore, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe Feinstein, and you'll be able to open the packaging in a destructive way, and there's certainly no problem. Rav Shlomo Zalman does add that, and that even if you open it in the normal way, because what we're saying is that it loses its status as as a keli. All it is packaging. And packaging that you open in order to gain access to the product is not a kilkul according to the Chazon Ish, and it's not, and it's psikas tolosh according to the other explanation that we said, the Shvita Shabbos. So therefore, what difference does it make how you open it? You're just gaining access to what's inside. You don't need to, provided that it doesn't create some sort of kli while you're opening it, then all you've done is open it in a way that you can gain access to the food. So the poskim say, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, it would be permitted to open the packaging in the normal way. Now, I must say that it does say in various places in Shmir Shabbos that you should be careful not to open it completely by the normal place, but you tear also into some of the packaging. And there's a discussion there about whether Kirea, whether a connection which is made in order to take apart, the connection is made in order that not to last permanently, is made so that you, at one point you will open it. So packaging is not made for a permanent seal. When the manufacturers seal the packaging, they know that it's for temporary, to keep the product fresh, to transport it. It's not made as a permanent connection. It's made enough that you're going to open it. So a connection that is made, a tefira, or any connection which is made in order that you're going to break, is not called a proper connection, and therefore it would, according to that, it is permitted to open it. It's not even korea, even if you would say it is korea, it's in normal cases, but it's not, because it was made in order to, so you have in there that other point. Now Rav Shlomo Zalman does go through that debate, whether it is or it isn't, and he does encourage you to open all packaging before Shabbos if you can, and if you can tear it with a kilkul, even better. Whether you have to or not, I'm not 100% sure that is necessary. So to conclude, we've seen that packaging, since it is an act of kilkul with a benefit that is not in the item itself, but purely in order to gain access to the product, It's not an Issa D'Oraisa, it's not even an Issa D'Rabbanan, and it's perfectly permitted
to certainly destroy the packaging. So if you have a shirt that you haven't managed to open before Shabbos and you want to wear it on Shabbos, you may open the packaging. And we haven't discussed this, but the other aspects of tearing and ripping any labels and all that type of thing is not considered to be matter of passage, because the shirt is already a complete product and wearable as is. It's just additions, and if you open it in a way that you destroy it, certainly permitted.
Yeah. Yeah.